All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Old Let's Talk About It. If you're tuning in for the first time, I'd like to say thank you. And if you find value in what you hear here today, I ask that you take a second to subscribe to get more of this good content. And if you're returning, you are appreciated. Okay, today we have another special episode. This young king right here, I've known for some time, and we're actually family. You know, at one point I was married to his niece, and along the way, our conversations were always intriguing. You know, when we would cross paths, I would always want to take time to hear what you had to say because your thinking was always ahead. You're one of the first people I heard speak about paradigm shifts and things of that nature. And I was like, he's not just thinking about right now, he's thinking about what's ahead, you know, and preparing for that. So what I want you to do, I'm allowing you to introduce yourself, and we're going to go from there. Introduce who you are, and then I'll take it from there. We'll get into the conversation.
Awesome, awesome. Well, first, thank you very much, Ed, for the invite, man. I'm super honored and grateful to be in your presence, to be offered an opportunity to speak on your podcast and your channel. My name is Derek Kelly. They call me the Forex Yogi. Forex Yogi because, one, I do love trading the markets, Forex as well as crypto. And Yogi because I'm all about unity as well as finding balance within myself. One of the things that I teach is finding balance within the market as well as finding balance within your life. Currently, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've had a chance to kind of travel around the world a little bit for the last few years. Man, the story is just so amazing, right? Growing beside a small town called Emporia, right? A medium income, about $32,000 a year at current date. And, you know, being raised by, you know, a pastor, mother's a pastor, being brought beside that whole, you know, construct of mindset and religion. But I always seen life from a broader perspective. I always knew it was more to life. I remember being 16 years old and, you know, having great ideas and things that I thought were possible for me at the time. And the people around me was like, they're not going to do that in this town. And I was like, who is they? Right? Because they is usually the ideas that have been planted inside of our mind. So the only limitations that they imprinted inside of us were the ones we allowed ourselves to receive and be deposited to our mind. So, you know, shortly after I went into the military, you know, had a wild up and down bumpy ride, right? From, you know, addictions to prison, to teenage parenting, to, I mean, you name it, right? But I never gave up. I've always tried different businesses. I've always tried, you know, different adventures and opportunities. And I knew there was always more to life. Right. No matter what type of difficulties I went through, I always knew that there was purpose on my life. And I just needed to find the right people, the right tribes to help cultivate and see me as the creator saw me until I was able to see myself like that. And so now at 46 years old, I'm currently at Charlotte, North Carolina, living a very free life. Right. Mentally free, financially free, emotionally free, spiritually free. Liberated to be the vessel that God created me to be.
Okay, man, you already started on the path of some of the questions I had. So many times people find themselves stuck. Like you say, we come from Emporia, Virginia, small town, and sometimes it can have a smaller mindset. What was it inside of you that even coming from small town, small mindset, that continue to push you forward to even to where you are now? What were those different things that, what was it inside of you that even back then we would talk that had you thinking way outside of the box? What was that come from?
Be honest with you, it came from birth. You know, I was a stillborn. A lot of people don't know that about me. I was actually a stillborn. So, you know, my mother delivered me without breath. The first 6 weeks of my life, I actually spent inside of an incubator. No one expected me to live. And so that self-determining drive actually came from me being this infant child inside this incubator, asking myself, even as an infant, why am I here? right? Why they said I'm not going to make it. Like, I have to make it. I have to find out why I'm here. I mean, even as an infant, purpose was starting to boil up inside of me. And I was trying to figure out, like, you know, what am I here to do? And so it's always been purpose. I mean, of course, I thank God for a praying mother who always loved me beyond my circumstances and whatever circumstance I was in. She never judged me for anything that I did. She definitely showed me what unconditional love looked like, what unconditional love felt like. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. But it was always about, you know, I always knew that I was more, right? I always knew that I was more. I was always different, right? As much as I tried to fit in, you know, with the cliques and the gangs and the neighborhoods and things like that, I always knew I was different, right? Even on the blocks, I'd be out there with, you know, linen jackets and alligator shoes. I never wanted to conform to the norm. And so it wasn't until I actually had an opportunity to move outside of that town. I moved to Washington, D.C., and I had a chance to see a bigger arena of what was possible. And I was like, I knew it was more to life than just this little box, right? They were trying to put me inside of. As I studied people, you know, for the first 5 years, it was like a mental detox, right? It took a lot for me to be able to look someone inside their eyes who was not the same race as me and speak to them, right? I didn't realize the level of suppression that had been put on me from a small town, right? It was like I wasn't allowed to look a person inside their eyes who didn't look like me and have respect for the person and demand respect back from that individual. So it took 5 years for that to happen. But as time went on, I continued to study people, you know, watch people, take on attributes of people that I liked, getting rid of attributes of myself that I realized didn't serve me anymore. And it was a process, right? I think a lot of times for many people, they think that it happens overnight, and it looks as though it happened overnight. But for myself, it's been almost 38 years. I say 38 years because it took 38 years for me to be able to be honest with myself and realize that I was living a lie, right? I was trying to get acceptance, approval, validation, and love from every person that I met, right? I spent all my time, all my money, all my energy wanting to be accepted by other people, and I never really accepted myself. And so once I was able to accept myself, I gave a damn about people, right? Not that I don't love everybody because I do, but it's about me doing what's best for me and me always staying in alignment with my purpose.
And you spoke about healing. What is that process of healing and what does being healed look like?
Oh, wow. Well, actually, I ran and grabbed my book, right? Okay. This is actually one of the books that I read. There's a few other books I read as well. It's called Homecoming, Rechampioning the Inner Child Within by John Bradshaw. An older book. There are other books on inner child healing. I actually started an inner child nonprofit called Why Me Who Better. The healing starts from present moment back to childhood, right? A lot of us don't want to accept the fact that a lot of our childhoods weren't always peachy creamy. Right. And we had to play a role inside those childhoods to protect the family dynamic. Right. To protect the family dynamic. And so, you know, as we grow older, we continue playing this role. And so, you know, the child, like for myself, for example, you know, I didn't receive all the proper nurturing. I didn't receive all the proper, you know, words of affirmation. I wasn't loved the way that I desired to be loved. I wasn't protected the way that I wanted to be protected, but we always use the jargon, you know, they did the best that they could. And that's true, right? Everyone's doing the best they could or they can based off their level of understanding, but I still deserved it, right? And you still deserve it, right? And so once I realized I still deserved it, I started doing the inner work to one, meet and introduce myself to the inner child and allow the inner child to introduce itself to me, find out what it was that it needed, process that, rewrite the narrative of the story of what it really was, right? Like, let's be honest, right? I was raised in the church, but it was child abuse. It was child abuse, right? I mean, 7-8-year-old kid in a church to 2-3 o'clock in the morning and then expect him to go to school and function. That's child abuse, right? I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, programming someone to believe something without their consent, that's abuse. And so I wasn't allowed to think freely, right? And so, you know, again, everyone did the best they could with their level of understanding. But as I grew older, you know, I became resentful towards that, right? I became resentful towards that, which is what caused me to go into, you know, drug addictions and, you know, womanizing because I didn't respect women, right? I didn't know I was molested by a woman at 3 years old. So I didn't have respect for women. It wasn't until I was 37 years old that I realized that even happened. And that's when I started changing my whole mindset about women, right? People thought I was a player. No, I was hurt. And I didn't even know that it happened, right? And I was being congratulated, you know, for this person who can get any woman he wants, but I was still seeking love through pain, through pain. And so, you know, after getting to the inner child work, I was able to, again, introduce myself and be introduced to the inner child, tell the story the way that it really happened, right? Not trying to protect anyone's image and ego anymore. Heal the inner child, reparent the inner child, and then re-champion the inner child. So now the inner child and I actually live as one.
Man, that's heavy right there. Okay, say that last three again. Say that last three you just said again.
We were able to, you know, introduce ourselves to each other, the inner child and me, the little Derek, right, and big Derek were able to introduce themselves to each other. Then we were able to write the story correctly, right, not the way that I was perceiving it to be, but the way that it actually was, right? And then we were able to heal through that, you know, through writings and, you know, different, you know, assignments and workshops and within. And then we were able to reparent, right? I had to reparent the inner child. I had to teach the child what nurturing, real nurturing looked like, what words of affirmation looked like, what protection looked like, what comfort looked like. And then after that process of reparenting, then I had to re-champion, right? Re-champion the inner child and let the ego, who had been living through my life or controlling my life, realize that one, I was grateful, right? Thank you, ego, right? For keeping the inner child safe. A lot of people talk about the ego as if it's a bad thing. The ego is the reason why you're safe. The ego, your ego is the reason why your inner child is still pure. The child within all of us, right? That we're ignoring and abandoning the same way that, you know, what happened to us as kids. Now we're doing it. It's safe because the ego is protecting it. You know, the molestation, the addictions, all the abuse, all the neglect that I experienced, which is my story. It's not me. It's my story. The ego took all those blows. So now little Derek is safe. So I had to thank the ego for keeping me safe. But I don't need you to no longer control and drive the car. So now the ego sits in the backseat, shotgun loaded, always ready if I need him. But he allows me, the inner child, now to live freely.
Man, you just dropped so much in just that couple of words, man. Okay. Okay. How do you, or is it your duty to introduce that to someone else, to enlighten them, to show them that some of the dysfunction that they've been living in, that's not as it should be, that you're missing out on who you really are because of the story? I heard you say something, you pretty much was saying, that's my story, but that's not me. How do you introduce that to someone, or is it your duty to do that?
Well, I mean, honestly, Ed, I've introduced the concept in the book to hundreds of people in the last 6 months, right? Okay. Not one person has finished the book. Not one person has finished the book, right? I was once baffled by, like, why won't they read the book? Like, the answers to their questions, the healing that they're seeking is right there. I was baffled by it. And then I realized that, one, it's like the man sitting on a nail, right? He's sitting on a nail. When he first sat on the nail, he experienced the pain. And he's been sitting on this nail for years. He's become numb to the pain. And he realizes that if he gets off this nail, he's going to have to re-experience that pain, right? But after re-experiencing the pain, he can get to healing. So for many people, they don't want to have to go back and relive and re-experience and readdress the issues because it's easier to live the lie. So they think, but they're suffering and, you know, they're not happy and they're not financially secure. They're not mentally secure. They're still choosing the same people. They're still choosing the same experiences. You know, again, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. And they don't realize that they're the one that have the power, right? They're the one that have the power. So, you know, in one of the trainings that I did through Joe Vitale, one of the authors in the Secret, he said the first stage of awareness or awakening is victimhood, right? We all understand that we were victims, right? We portray ourselves as victims. And so once you realize that you created it, right? Because again, our throat chakra, our throat template, you know, right? Our etheric template, we spoke our lies into existence. We thought our lives into existence. We're still doing that, by the way. Nothing happens by happenstance. We're creating it every moment of the day. Once we realize that, then we realize we have the same power to recreate a new narrative, a new story. And so that becomes empowering. So we go from victimhood to empowerment. Like, wow, I can actually create the life that I desire because I've created the life that I did desire through my thinking and my speaking. Now I can create the life that I desire through my thinking and my speaking. And so after empowerment, we come to a place of surrender. Mm. Surrender. Oh, it's so beautiful. Because we surrender to the fact that we know we don't know how to fix it. Right? I know I don't know how to fix it. Because if I knew how to fix it, I would have already done it. So we surrender to a power higher than ourselves because we realize that we didn't create ourselves. Right? We don't have the template or the blueprint for our lives. And there's something out there that's greater than us that wants to see us live inside prosperity and health and in happiness. So we surrender to that power. And then that power says, because you've surrendered, I'll gift you with the blessing of insight and enlightenment and awareness, because now you can be trusted.
Okay, so what does surrender look like? Like, how do you do that? Because you probably hear it along the way, you need to surrender. But what does that look like?
I'll tell you what it's not.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what it is as well. Surrender is not submitting.
Okay.
You know, I think especially for us men, you know, the kings think that surrender means you're submitting to something. Like, I failed. I'm weak. Right? I don't know how to do it. Right? Which technically, you know. But they think that is something that symbolizes weakness. And surrender is strength. It takes a lot to surrender.
Okay.
It takes a lot to be honest and say, I don't know how to fix this. You know, in 2019, I was at a place of complete surrender. My finances were jacked up. My life wasn't where I wanted to be. I had to get down to surrender. Like, Father, show me the way. I don't know how to fix this. And he told me to go to my laptop, go look at a certain project, a certain coin. And I said, this coin is not doing anything. He said, I want you to invest into this coin every week. $100, $150 every week. It changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. And that's because I surrendered. I didn't know how to get out of the situation I was in. Right? And the creator, the Father, God, whatever title or entity you want to put on it, label you want to put on it, is always waiting to assist us. But we won't surrender. Right? Mm-hmm. We think that surrender means that we're less than. Surrender just means that you're not in control. Right? And it's actually liberating to surrender because I don't have to try to figure it all out by myself anymore. Right? I don't have to try to figure out how I'm going to be a billionaire. He just told me you're going to be a billionaire. I'm not trying to figure that out. And it's not about the resources of being a billionaire, right? It's about being a poster child of resourcefulness so that other individuals want to come and figure out how do they become more resourceful. And my job is to lead them to their purpose, right? You're going to get resources as long as you're in alignment with your purpose, right? Because when you're more resourceful, now you're able to free up your time and energy to do what you came here to do. We all came here with an assignment, right? And we need that time freedom and that financial freedom to allow us to be in complete surrender. We can follow those intuitive voices that talk to us all the time, right? To just move with those things without having to think. You know, I've been fortunate in the last 3 months to not think. I don't think anymore. I don't have thoughts. I don't have thoughts.
Go it's into just, that. Explain that.
I don't think. I realize that breathing is important. There's nothing more important than breathing. The breath is the gateway to the mind. And when one is able to control their breath, they have more control over their mind. I also realized my mind wasn't my friend, right? After 38 years, I thought it was my friend, Ed. You know, I thought he was I kept thinking that he was trying to save me, right? I kept thinking that he was, this time he was going to save me. Like this time he was going to tell me something that was going to actually work. Right. And every time I ended up being a crash dummy. And people looked at me like I was the bad guy, which technically I had the responsibility because I did create those actions or say those words, but it was me listening to my mind, my illogical, irrational mind. Right. And so I was telling somebody a story about something the mind told me to do. I'll tell you the story. I had plenty of money and I didn't have license. I didn't have registration and I didn't have insurance on my car. And I'm still driving around like I'm legit. And my mind told me, my best thinking told me, you're good. If they stop you, you can pay to get out of jail. I said, you know what? You're right. Why would I say that? But my man says, brother, with a friend like that, you don't need any enemies. Right? I said, you're right. And that's when I realized, of course, I got all those things fixed. It cost about $600 to get it all fixed. But why would I risk or jeopardize and pay $5,000-$6,000 for something that only costs $500 to get fixed? And this was the kind of thinking I've been doing repeatedly over and over and over again, sabotaging my life. Right? Sabotaging my life because of something that my mind had told me to do. So we just went on and just divorced. I had a 30-year domestic violent relationship with my mind. And so now I'm actually writing a book about that. Can't give the title just yet. I'm actually writing a book about that right now.
I'm having to take a deep breath, man. You're dropping some things that hopefully if people listen to it, it'll start to at least turn the key. Or at least lead them in that direction. Man, this is helping me out. Okay.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to try to transition into you spoke about finances. You're the Forex yogi. How did your journey with Forex and your, can I call it a spiritual journey?
Absolutely.
How did those intertwine? Because I see they've grown together.
Correct. Introduced to Forex and crypto back in 2017, actually. I really got fully invested into it. Made a lot of mistakes, right? Made a ton of money and lost a ton of money. Trying to control everything myself, right? Trying to figure it all out on my own. And so, you know, as time went on, I spent a lot of, you know, money and, you know, mentorship and courses, you know, tens of thousands of hours trying to figure it out on my own. And finally, again, through surrender, you know, the creator gave me a concept, you know, and a strategy to trade. So after all the money I spent, all the hours I spent trying to figure it out on my own, he gave me something that was so simplistic. It was like, this is all you have to do. Do this. And so that transpired. And so, you know, after, like I say, this year, we were able to do some major numbers. You know, a few that I was able to, you know, share the idea with some other people, I think we retired about 6 or 7 people this year. They're financially secure, financially free through some of the moves that we made that Source gave us. So I don't take any I don't take any credit for what was given to us. I only take credit for surrendering to allow it to come through me. Like they say in the church, right? When you, whatever you're doing, God, do it through me. So I'm like, Creator, Father, whatever you're going to do next, whatever other big idea you have, I'm willing to do it through me, right? You got a new invention you want to create, I'm available, right? And so,
a willing conduit
to allow him to work through me, which is all he wants. Listen, Ed, all he ever wanted for us to do is to allow him or it, whatever you want to title it, to work through us, right?
And question. So, quick question. Do you feel like that purpose was diluted through the box of religion?
Absolutely.
It existed, but the way it was presented to us, it made us resent it to a degree. Like, I resented the way I was, as you spoke about earlier, the way it was presented to me, I resented that because it was presented in an abusive form. But you realize, okay, this does exist, but it's a more pure form that it exists in. It's not limited by these rules and rituals. It's free flowing. You just have to be available to let it flow through you. Am I on the right track?
You're exactly on track because, you know, again, nothing against religion. Thank God for religion, because without religion, the world would probably be in chaos, right? So some people need that structure, that discipline. But when I actually had an opportunity to really experience God, it was very different from what I was taught. And so, you know, I remember one day I was talking to one of my guys and we were talking about sex and we were talking about intimacy and the difference between sex and intimacy. And I made a video about that, you know, into me see, right? Into me see into me. And as we was talking about it and I was getting these downloads, and the Creator says, that's how I created you. I said, what do you mean? He says, I created you through intimacy. I'm like, how so? He says, I had intimacy with myself, by myself, to create intimacy with myself. Say that again. He says, I had intimacy with myself, by myself, to manifest you, to have intimacy with myself. I said, well, Father, I'm you. He said, exactly. Bruh, I ran home and laid on the altar. And for the first time in my life, I allowed myself to have intimacy with God. And it was so pure and so holy. And I'm laying there and he says, relax your shoulders, son. It's safe here. I was laying on the floor and my shoulders were still erect. I had never really let go. And man, I serenaded it and it serenaded me. And it said to me, I never judged you. I never judged you. I've always been available and waiting for you. But they told you you weren't good enough. So what I realized was that they made me a bastard.
Man, keep going. Oh, my gracious.
I mean, they told me that I wasn't good enough to come to my Father unless I subscribe to their ideology and their doctrine. My Father said, I've always been waiting for you to come. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you could ever do that would change my love for you. My love is unconditional. I never seen any of the things you did. I only saw you as who you are, not the things you were doing. And so I was the one, like Adam, I felt guilty. So I hid myself from the creep, as many of us have done. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. He's still waiting, or it's still waiting for you with open hands, open arms, like, let me just love on you. And once it started, man, once he started loving on me, bro, I went from God to source to universe to my daddy. And now he's just my daddy. He has a different relationship, you know? And so, you know, now I'm just allowing it to lead and guide me. And so, you know, it was funny. I saw what my niece actually posted something about a month ago. She had stated, you know, the problem is some of you all think that God thinks like you. And I commented, so is that why they'll, you know, punish us to eternal damnation? Because my daddy don't think like that. You know, but man does think like that. And, you know, when someone can't control you and keep you in alignment with their plan or, you know, their idea of who you're supposed to be, then they start putting these abusive abusive tactics to control you. And again, it's all about being free flowing. I always say I'm liquid, right? I'm liquid. People are like, what are you doing today? I'm liquid. Whatever the flow is. I'm liquid, you know, and the Father, the Spirit is liquid.
So question, how did you deal with breaking out of that box that people wanted to keep you here? I love you as long as you're this version of you. But once you move to a different version, now I have to label you differently. How did you adjust to that? Or, you know.
Well, you know, after doing the inner child work myself, you know, I realized that 99.9% of humanity are hurting. They're sick, right? And they're unhealthy. Doesn't matter what you have, right? It doesn't matter, you know, what you've obtained in life. And I salute everybody for, you know, for accomplishments. But they don't take the place for healing inside. You know, a lot of times we want to, you know, try to obtain and acquire a lot of things to mask and, you know, try to cover up the insecurities and pains we actually feel inside, the inadequacies we feel inside. And so when I realized that, it didn't really matter to me what people thought. You know, after I had my spiritual awakening, which is actually on June the 11th of this year, where I spent 4 hours in tears. Like 4 hours in a fetal position, right? Seeing my whole life flash before me. And all every dollar I ever spent, every ounce of energy I ever spent, every second of my life, everything was about getting validation, acceptance, approval, love from others. And the others that I was trying to get it from weren't even healthy. They weren't even healthy. So why was I putting all this time and energy, you know, every post I made, everything I wore, everything I bought, look at me. So I wanted to try to mask and hide all those insecurities and inadequacies I had inside of myself. And so when I realized that, I was like, it's more than just me. And I'm not looking at anyone else per se, but I'm also not going to waste another ounce of energy, another second of my life, another dollar, trying to get anyone else to love, approve, accept, or validate me ever again, because the Father already does. So, you know, even from, you know, a family dynamic perspective, you know, inside codependent relationships, you know, even within the family dynamic, I was, and this isn't against anyone, it's just what it was. I remember at 8 years old, I wanted someone to come to my baseball game and nobody came. Right. It was all about the church. Right. And so that's when I actually created this false self. I'm like, I'm going to show y'all. You can't support me. I'm going to show y'all. And the false self began at 8 years old. I went on from 8 to 46. And I learned that when I acted out, I got their attention. And so I just continued to act out. I just continued to sabotage my life. Because every time I sabotaged my life, I got their attention. No one actually came to those games when I played Little League Baseball. No one came to those games when I was playing JV and varsity football. But no one missed a week of prison. They came every week to prison. Right? Didn't miss a week. Right? And so what is that reaffirming inside of the abused little child? They'll always be here as long as I'm in trouble. So what did I do for the next 27 years, 25 years? Continue sabotaging my life so I could get their attention. So when I would become, when I would have successes in life, nobody would show up. Right? Nobody would show up for all my successes. It would shy away. And again, I didn't understand it back then, but now I understand it. And so it's like, they're not going to be there for me as long as I'm successful. And that's cool, because that's their insecurities. That's their inadequacies, right? But I'm not going to allow my light to be dim to keep them comfortable inside their insecurities for the need to be needed. You need to be needed, find somebody else. I don't need you to need me. I don't need you for that. I need you to support me in my successes, not my failures, because I'm no longer going to sabotage my life so you can feel validated. You want to breathe through that one? Deep breath in through the nose.
You're saying I can resonate with it so much. That's why I'm sitting here speechless, because, and help me out with one part. Okay. They never came to the games and things. You wanted them to see you, not realizing you were already being seen by the one that you needed to be seen by, but you were seeking that validation. I can relate to that so much. And like you said, when you had successes, you didn't really clap for that. But when I'm in trouble, everybody shows up. So let me keep making a scene. Let me keep making a scene because y'all see me, not realize I'm already being seen.
But they're not really seeing you. They're seeing the egoic aspect of you. They're seeing the false self, right? So it's like, you know, people will show up for the false self, but they won't show up for the authentic self. You know, everybody wants to be seen, right? Everybody wants to be heard. That's just the bottom line. We all want to be seen. And so, you know, it's just about being seen for your authentic self. And there's always people out there that are healthy enough that will see you for your authentic self. It's not going to be many, right? It's not going to be many, but there are people that will see you for your authentic self. And so, you know, now I have a very small circle, but they all see me and I see them and we support each other. And, you know, the road to the top is going to always be narrow, and I'm fine with that, right? I can't take everybody with me.
Right.
Right. I tell people all the time, it's usually only one person in the family that wakes up. It's only one, right? One, maybe two, but usually only one. And they're usually the black sheep of the family. Right. But those are the ones that came in to do something different, something spectacular. And it doesn't meet the norm. It doesn't meet the structure. It doesn't meet westernized prototype of life. It's different because we came in to create a new earth. Right. So we can't conform to this whole ideology that's out here right now. So we are going to look like the black sheep. We are going to be radical. We are going to be different because we didn't come here to be the same. We didn't come here to be like everybody else. And I've accepted that now.
This is why over the years, the times we have got a chance to talk, I've always loved talking to you, man, because you have information that makes sense right now. Right. And it's relatable right now. And that if people take the time to listen, they'd be like, hey, I feel like that too. That makes sense too. And let me look at, okay, now they can look to you as a guide or as an example to say, okay, he felt that way. I felt that way. Let me see what he did to get out of that.
Right.
So I have a question. What is love, man? We've talked what love was, but at this point in your life, and then I want to go into like some of your certifications and things of that nature, but yeah. What is love?
Love is.
Okay.
Love is. Love is a being. No, love is a beingness. You know, love is, you know, it's not judgmental. Love is not expectations. Love just is, you know. I love me just the way that I am. You know, I love you just the way you are. I've always loved you just the way you are, you know, and that's why I've always vibed with you over the years, because you've always been authentically you, right? Everybody didn't understand the things that you did and, you know, some of the things you may have said and, you know, you outside of the box and look at Ed, but Ed was being authentically him. That's why I always supported you, no matter what. I've always loved you. I've never judged anything you've ever done. because you're being you. And, you know, sometimes when you're being you, people can't accept that because your light or ability to be you casts light on them not being authentically them. So don't ever stop that, right? Don't be apologetic for being amazing, for being phenomenal, for being different, right? For stepping outside the box. Don't apologize for that, right? You were created to do that. You were created to be a trendsetter. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I always show up where you can. And I do love you right here from the bottom of my heart. That's never going to change. That's love, right? Love is just unconditional, you know? And you have to experience it. It's hard. It is hard to experience unconditional love outside of a parent-child relationship, you know, because people do have so many conditions. You know, they say they love you as long as you're doing this, right? Well, I love you as long as you're doing that. You know, as long as you fitting the mold that I need you for, I love you. But when you decide to be yourself, it's like they pull that back. So I don't call that or consider that love per se.
Okay. I see that you recently certifications in some different. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in the fourth quarter of 2021, okay. Right? You know, I have a private mentorship program I've done over the last 4.5, going on 5 months, be 5 months to end, actually the end of this month, be 5 months. I took on 10 students and just really gave them everything that I had, right? Again, my family didn't really want it, which is fine. Again, everything is for everybody, but I didn't want the concepts that the Creator had gave me to die with me, right? So I wanted to give it to somebody so it could always be given back out to the world. So I took on 10 students. And so I postponed 5 months of my life to really pour into them. You know, a lot of people don't know that I was actually doing that behind the scenes. Even though I was traveling and, you know, enjoying life, you know, I gave them all, you know, personal one-on-ones every week, you know, group calls every week. And we didn't miss 1 week. We didn't miss one call, right? The entire 5 month process. We actually have the last call today at 11. And so, you know, after that, I had already signed up for some certification, things of that nature. I kind of put those things on the back burner, but we've been crushing through them because it's the last quarter, right? It's like, I'm always about the underdog. So for all those that are listening, we're in the fourth quarter of 2021. And everyone usually starts the year off with New Year's resolutions, you know, goals, things they want to get done. And then we get to the fourth quarter, like, oh, I didn't get it done. I'll work on it next year. Well, the bottom line is your new year starts the day that you decide to make it a new year. And so whether you got your goals accomplished, you're still trying to work on those goals, you're kind of sitting back letting the end of the year kind of cruise by. I encourage you to take the fourth quarter and make it the best quarter of your year, right? You can get more done in a few days of focused attention. You can get done in weeks of distractions or months or years of distractions. So my phone has been on Do Not Disturb for the last 3 weeks. It's going to stay on Do Not Disturb until the end of the year because I'm focused on getting the things I need to get done, right? I've done 6 certifications this month. I got my ordained minister license this morning prior to getting on this call. So I'm certified in Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian concept where a physician who's actually a pediatric psychiatrist in Hawaii was actually working inside of a mental ward of inmates. And what he did was instead of counseling them one by one, he took their files and did a process called clearing or cleaning. And the process is, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And he did that over and over and over again with each one of the files. And what happened was, as a result of that, they all got better. You're not making it for the other person. You're making it for you, right? Why do I feel this way about this person? So I'm sorry I feel this way about this person. I love this person. I'm sorry that this happened to you, right? A lot of times we're looking at people's outcomes and results and things they're doing, and they're not realizing that something happened to them in childhood. And that's why they're doing this. That's why they're acting like this. That's why they did this, right? No person goes out and molests a child logically, right. okay? They were molested by somebody, right? You don't just come with the idea of rape. Somebody raped that person when they was a child or older. So, right. You know, but it's easy for us to judge those individuals because of what they're doing now, but no one's addressing the actual, the root cause of why they're doing it. So he started addressing that. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And that energy was transmuted into their subconscious mind. And it was first transmuted into his subconscious mind. Then the subconscious mind transmuted it to the superconscious mind. The superconscious mind transmuted it into the divine mind. And then the divine mind transmuted it back to their subconscious mind. And they started doing and acting differently. And so we got a certification as a Ho'oponopono practitioner. And then I went and did two inner child certifications. I have a diploma in inner child therapy, also a neuro-linguistic practitioner, inner child therapist. Also did a certification as a limited belief practitioner, because a lot of us need to remove these limited beliefs about who we think we are, what we think we deserve. I just did a law of attraction practitioner certification. 48 hours later, man, I was driving a brand new Benz because there was some things inside my mind I needed to tweak. A lot of us don't realize that we're just saying things just a little bit incorrectly, right? Just little tweaks, not always big things. You know, one of the things I always tell people is when they come to me like, how are you doing? Like, I'm great, can't complain, can't complain. Please never say that word out your mouth again, because that's okay. Talk, right? People say it, they don't think any things about it. Like, oh, enough. No. That's an energy attached to complain. So we don't want to use that word in our vocabulary, right? So if I'm great, just be great. You don't have to add that I won't complain. Leave that alone, right? That's attracting things to complain about in your life. So I'm amazing. I'm fantastic.
And it's almost like it cancels it out. You say I'm great, but then you put the negative energy back on the back end. You can't wonder why you turn out great. Okay. Yeah.
And we do it unconsciously because everybody around us do it.
Right.
You know, and we think it's a way of letting people know we're good. But the way to let a person know you're good is I'm amazing. They're like, oh, wow. Yeah, because you say that. I had a guy, I was at the hotel the other day, and this guy was like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm amazing. He was like, you know what? Life is amazing. He thought about it like, you know what? You know, I had one older white guy. I was in a restaurant one day at a restaurant. And old white guy was like, how you doing? I'm fantastic. He was like, well, I'm amazing. I'm like, you're the first person to actually upstage me. And I do this intentionally to allow the other person to upstage me so they can feel what it feels like to just be amazing. Right? So the law of attraction is one of those things we may say, if you have a load today, you have to be at about 1 o'clock. You may say, well, man, I want to be late. The universe hears, I want to be late. I want to get sick. Universe hears, I want to get sick. I want to catch coronavirus. Universe hears, I want to catch coronavirus. Because the latter part is what the universe actually attaches to what it is you're thinking and saying. So we're using little words and saying little jargons that, again, seem harmless, but they're affecting the outcomes of the results you're seeking. So, you know, that was another great, certification. And, you know, realizing the law of attraction is always happening for us. Again, we're always creating our own lives. We're always thinking and speaking our life into existence, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. We are. And we have to take responsibility for that.
Okay. How do you go about removing toxic people? Or even at this stage, you seem to be at a more zen, peaceful, you know, actualized stage. So you probably don't have any toxic people around you at this point. Okay, what was the process of removing that? Because, okay, I'll use myself for example. I know I have purpose. I know certain visions I see, but then there's still a little piece of me that'll pull in toxicity, toxic behaviors. It'll attract it to myself. What's the process of freeing that, releasing that so that I can go on to that next stage? How does one do that?
I think I heard you post something about this one time before. You know, once you know peace, once you experience peace, then you don't have any desire for confusion. you know, I was always used to being inside drama relationships, you know, drama all around me. So I got into peace. It was like, this is weird. This is boring. You know what I'm saying? Like last night on a Friday night, I'm sitting there with 65 other people who don't look like me, who are all older than me, learning a new breathing technique. Right? I'm spending $1,000 on how to breathe with a different technique of breathing. Right? And that would seem boring to anybody else, but I love it. Right? I'm all about it. Right? And so, you know, the people that, you know, you need in your life may not look like you, may not talk like you, may not dress like you, may not act like you. But I'm finding myself connecting myself to other people. And, you know, as much as I love all the people who've been in my life through over the course of the years, if I have to spend more than 10 minutes rewording what you're saying at your mouth, then I'm not going to be around you, right? And I love you. But if everything you're saying, I have to literally restructure the words in my mind to allow my subconscious mind to hear it correctly, that's too much work, right? It's too much work. And so even with family, right? It's like, y'all, I love y'all, man. Y'all just too much work, yo. Because I got to sit and literally translate everything you're saying to my mind in a correct way, because I've done too much damn work in removing that. So I'm not going to allow you to pollute me with anything else that's not, you know, conducive to where it is I'm going and who I am. And so, you know, once you experience that level of peace, again, I think coronavirus, whatever that is, was probably one of the best things that happened to the world, but many people didn't understand what it was. And we talk about the Sabbath, right? We talk about, you know, Jubilee. But when I sat in the presence of the Creator, he says, this is my Sabbath season. You know, the Sabbath is not a day, it's a season. And coronavirus was a season of Sabbath to be still and rest and know who you are and know who it is, right? I sat up under the tree for 6 months, just being, just embracing the moment. I wasn't trying to do anything, right? Many people was upset because they couldn't do anything. And the Father was saying, this is a time to be. So he had to shut everything down because you want to do something all the time. I had to shut it all down so you could just learn how to be. And people still didn't know how to be. And it was the best season of my life. You know, that's when I really started to do a lot of work on myself.
Okay, so question. Within that, you already done the work to get to a space where you can take that time out and say, okay, for 6 months, I'm going to just flow this way. What are your suggestions for someone that it could be a father, single mother, whatever, that they have a lot of things going on? How do they find that time to say, okay, this is my space to just be, so that I can connect back with myself, the Creator, or whatever source that they connected to, feel they're connected to? How do they find that time? How does that look for somebody that may not have done the work yet?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I taught people in my program was understanding your top three values, right? So we did an assessment for individuals to find out what were their top three values. And whatever their top three values were, those are the things you should put some time, money, and energy into every single day, right? Because if you don't focus on high priority activities, I promise you other people will allow your day to be controlled by low priority activities, right? So self-care comes first, self-love comes first. Whatever your top three values are, you have to do those three things before you give anyone else your time, money, and energy, right? So at the time we first, and again, those values change. You know, they can change from week to week, month to month, quarter to quarter. So you're constantly doing that assessment to find out what it is that I value right now. I've been up since 4:30 this morning, right? So for people who do have families or kids and things like that, there's certain sacrifices that you have to make to put the time in to take care of self-care, right? You have to come first. You know, like I always tell people, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to do things, make sacrifices, right? I put a post on my page the other day about how to put on notifications on your Facebook, right, to manage your time on Facebook. So I only spend 30 minutes a day on Facebook. After 30 minutes, I'm done with Facebook for the day. Most people spend 2-3 hours on Facebook. So they say they don't have the time. Everyone has time for what it is they really want to do. Everyone will find the money and resources for anything they really want to do. Everyone will always do whatever they really want to do. So when you understand how values actually work, you stop making excuses for people who say they don't have the time, who say they don't have the money, who say they don't have the energy, because they always find the time, money, and energy for the things they actually value. So you have to just realize that they don't value that. And it's okay. You don't value that. Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, no, it's fine. You don't value my time. It's cool. I get it. Oh, I didn't finish the book. No, you don't value being healed. That's cool. Because you did a lot of other stuff today that you did value. Right? So this is not something you value right now. And that's okay. So let's be honest about what it is you actually value. So if you really want to become a better version of yourself, if you really want to transition, if you really want to walk in purpose, if you really want to be the person you were created to be at the highest level you want to be it, then make that your priority. Make that one of your top three values and don't give anyone else any of your time, money, and energy until you do something, something small, something minute each day to push you towards that purpose, towards that goal. I think Earl Nightingale said it best. He says, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal or worthy goal. It's not actually getting there. It's the progression. So you do something each day, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you do something towards the goal that you're seeking each day. And then at the end of the week, at the end of the month, the end of the quarter, it starts accumulating. You're like, wow, I got that knocked out. I got that knocked out. And then you start building up that self-worth. And then you start flying through stuff, right? You're like, I got that done. It's amount of time. Imagine. So I'll tell you what happened. 3 weeks ago, my phone died out at 4:30 in the morning. I woke up. Phone just completely died out. Wouldn't take a charge. And for about 15 minutes, I had a moment of anxiety. It was like, whoa, like, can't contact anybody. Mike can contact me. I can't. Of course, I could have got on my laptop, but I wasn't thinking about that. From 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., I got more stuff done in those 5 hours than I got done in the last 3 months. And then I realized Facebook and social media was a distraction. So I just put an alert on. So now I'm knocking through stuff because I'm taking my time back. Right? And we all have the ability to do that. So it's not that people don't have the time, you know, or they don't have the energy. You know, I mean, sometimes they may not have all the resources to do all the things that they desire. But as they start chiseling back some of the time they're wasting on things that are not productive, not conducive to who they want to be, then they'll start taking that time and transmuting it to things they actually want to do. You know, I'm reading like 12 books right now, like literally, you know, and they're all in alignment with each other. But I read two or three chapters a day. So I keep books on deck. You know, I finished this book, I read this book twice. Another book I'm reading, finishing this up right now, called The Pendulum Healing Book. Phenomenal book. A lot of people talk about Moses and, you know, the stake. It was actually called a pendulum.
Okay.
Ancient tool that we all have access to. They're not that expensive, maybe $5 or $10, maybe $20 for a nice one. But the reason why I don't think is because I allow the pendulum to make all my decisions for me. I think the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge me and I should direct your path. Yeah, so I don't try to think and make decisions for myself, right? I just ask the pendulum, should I go on Ed's podcast, yes or no? Clockwise is yes, by the way.
Okay. See, I can't tell which direction it's going from here.
That's clockwise.
Okay, okay.
So you ask me, should I come? I ask the pendulum, should I go? Clear. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Was Ed created with limitations? Yes or no?
She's not moving now.
No. Counterclockwise. Wow. So I spent about 3 weeks asking this pendulum every question I ever wanted an answer to, from childhood into adulthood, every question, okay? And I got all my questions answered.
Okay, okay. Because I want
his answer, guess what? My mind stopped thinking because it was like, most of the things we think about are repetitious, the same things over and over again. So once you get the answers you've been seeking your whole life, leave that alone. You know what it is now.
Okay, let me jump in. Okay, so from what I've gathered, growth has to be intentional.
Absolutely.
It has to be intentional. And setting those boundaries, once you set them, you have to stick by them. Once you say, okay, this energy is no longer good for me, you can't allow anyone, you don't care who it is, mama, brother, cousin, the dog, this is the boundary. I have to, you know, either you respect the boundary or I love you from that side of the boundary. Another thing, where can someone obtain things like the pendulum and some of the books that you present?
Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon, any metaphysical store, you know, any metaphysical store, you can pretty much find anything that you seek. Especially, you know, these tools were outlawed, thousands of years ago, even back when it was, you know, slaughtering all the baby boys, King James, they outlawed these because they was using these to find out if the mothers were going to have girls or boys. And they would have girls, they let the mothers stay inside the town. They had boys, they were going to have boys, they'd sit in the mother's way so they wouldn't kill them. So they end up outlawing these. So now they're not outlawed anymore, right? This allows us to make decisions from our higher self. This allows us to make decisions from God's source energy. So it's not coming from our intellect. It's not coming from our emotions. It's not coming from our lower self. It's not coming from our fears, our insecurities. It's coming from our higher self. What's in our best interest? What's in my best interest? When I asked you, should I buy a car on Friday? It says, yes. I said, let me go. So the guy says, it's going to take a little while. I said, nope, it ain't going to take that long. Pin your money if I can get it right now.
Wow.
Two hours, I was walking out of the car lot, pulling off for 2 hours, and I got dropped off. I said, just drop me off there. I'm good. He's like, no, I'm good. Pin your money. He's like, I'm going to buy the car right now. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Man will lie. The mind will lie. The pendulum has never lied about anything. So I make all my decisions through that. Where am I going to stay at? What day should I travel? You know, the good book has a lot of great stories, even through the allegories. It says you should come as a little child. That's surrender. See, the problem is a lot of us are trying to control our lives and control the outcomes. And the internal GPS system that was already placed inside of all of us is trying to get us to purpose in the fastest possible manner. But we keep trying to control everything, and then the internal GPS system keeps saying, rerouting, rerouting. It just keeps rerouting you because you keep taking the wrong turns, keep making the wrong decisions, trying to do things your own way. But you know he loves you because he keeps rerouting you. Right? Because the minute he stopped rerouting you, you too far off course, right? You can't make it back, right? So a lot of us just way too far off course. So it's going to take us a little bit of time to follow the GPS system to get back in alignment to the destination. Now, if you're trying to get to West Point without a GPS system and you're following your own intuition, it might take you a week to get there.
Because I've only been there once. I didn't even know how to get there. So you're right.
But the GPS will get you in an hour and a half. So the GPS system that the creator put inside of us is just trying to get us to where we need to get to as fast as possible. All we need to do is just let go and surrender. You don't think about how you breathe. You don't think about the oxygen flow into your body, the blood circulation inside your veins. You didn't create this body. He thought it was a well-thought-out mechanism. This is a well-thought-out organism, a living organism. You didn't have anything to do with it. It was thought out in intricate detail, okay? So why do you think he didn't think about the following process of how you get to where you need to be? Just let go. You don't think about breathing. You just breathe. Just let go and allow the internal GPS system, the intuition, to just lead you. And when it tells you to do something, just do it. Don't allow the mind to have a dialogue with you and persuade you to not do what your intuition told you to do, because then you're going to say, I knew something told me to do that. Something told me not to do that. That's the same intuition that's trying to get you to where you try. We need to get to as fast as possible. So the faster you let go of your mind, the irrational, illogical mind, and follow your intuition. Because remember this, if Source gave you a thought or an idea, he had 7 billion other options he could have gave it to. 7 billion options.
Yeah, great.
Right? He chose you. So you don't have to have confidence or know how to do it. Just have confidence that he has confidence in you because he gave it to you.
Man, listen. I can't wait till I can get parked that truck and go back and watch this back myself, bro. This isn't just, listen, people that's tuning in, this is not just for you all. This is for me too. Like, bro, I appreciate your journey because I know you're already helping people, but as you go along, man, I can just imagine the number of people that would be free just from listening to the energy. It's not just even the words, the energy in which you're putting out there with your words, man. It's hard to, for those that choose not to tune in and tap into the things you say, like you said, that's their right. That's their choice. But if you're trying to be free, this is a source. This is a source. And
it's,
I know
it's all energy, King. Like, people don't understand it. Like, you know, I keep these close by because this is a source of energy, right? I love touching, you know, stacks. Never had one when I was a kid, you know? So, you like, know, I'm like this. No doubt. I keep some stacks, you know, I put my hands on them. You understand what I'm saying? So I wouldn't be getting confused, right? I am source, right? I am resource to source. This is resources. So it's source, we are resource, and these are resources, right? It all flows. It flows. And it flows through surrender.
Listen, first, thank you. Thank you. That's, I've been watching your post lately, and that energy just said, hit Uncle Derek and ask him to be on. This is needed right now. Yeah. I know you're doing a great work, but whether's, I'm not even going to say that. I almost said something and sabotaged it. So I'm glad I didn't just say what I was about to say.
Thank you for catching it. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Listen, man, one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
What is our purpose?
Every person's purpose is unique to them. You know, where do you find it? It's in the depth of your being. You know, the creator placed your purpose in the depth of your being so that no one could take it from you, right? And you would have to be ready to go in and remember it. You agreed to before you came here. We just forgot, you know, with all the dogma and all the teachings and all the limited beliefs and all that programming, we just forgot why we came here, right? We just forgot it, but we agreed to it. We agreed to the parents we have. We agreed to the life we were going to experience, the ups, the downs, the tragedies. We knew that all these things were necessary to allow us to be the fulfillment of this purpose. And so nothing happens by happenstance, right? Even the choices we made, Source knew, Father knew we were gonna make those decisions. And it was gonna get us all in alignment for who we are right now. I'm happy I went through all the things that I talked about earlier. The story that I experienced, I'm happy I experienced that, right? Because now I'm actually a Tantra practitioner. You know, Tantra meaning the weaving together of unity, of love. You know, so now I'm actually pouring back and imprinting, you know, queens and kings, you know, showing them what a real hug feels like, showing them what unconditional love without expectation feels like, you know, showing them what being honest and truthful feels like, what it looks like. And so that's the purpose from which I came here. Now, I was driving 2 weeks ago and the Father says, you came here to imprint. Right. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, he showed me all the pictures of all the people I had dated throughout the course of my life. Like it was like these before, after pictures, before, after. And I was like, wow, this is where they were. This is where they are now. And all these years, I thought, like, man, why do they always do better when I leave? Because you went there to imprint them. You was trying to have relationships. I just need you to imprint and keep it moving. So now I'm just doing that. I'm just imprinting and moving, imprinting, moving, imprinting, moving. Letting people know their worth, their value, why they're here. They deserve the best. You're loved. You're protected. You're secure. Because we need to know that, right? So we can start walking and finding that purpose in which we came here. And once we all start walking our purpose, again, we don't need, the Father said, I don't need everybody. I just need enough of y'all to step, wake back up.
Listen, man, because we could keep going and keep going. But first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to impart this wisdom, this knowledge, this actualization, these resources, man. Thank you for taking the time to do that. Are your services available? If so, how can people contact you and things of that nature?
Absolutely. I mean, we're pretty much booked up for the rest of this year. What I'll do is I'll send you the link. You can find me on any social media platform, Rich Dad, 915, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all those, Rich Dad 915. My phone number, I will get my phone number out though. My phone number is 202-600-5670. Again, 202-600-5670. Again, my phone's on Do Not Disturb. So you're going to be vetted before I call you back, all right? Or I text you back, so it's fine. It ain't going to rain, all right? But we are going to always be available. We're doing retreats. We do private workshops. We do one-on-one consulting, counseling, life coaching, clearing work, trauma releasing, chakra clearing. I mean, you know, the Creator has really just opened up a big platform. It's not just myself. We have a whole tribe. We call it the tribe called Akara, Akara Integration Wellness. There's a whole slew of queens and kings. I would come together to walk and live in their purpose. So reach out to me. If I can assist you, I definitely plug you to the person who can, and know that we're here to see you become the best version of yourself.
Absolutely. And I hope I'm able to get you on again. I know you're booked up, but at some point, because I wanted to go into the to the Akara and everything, but it's so much to talk about.
It's so much. We haven't talked in a couple of years, so I definitely got to catch up for sure.
I'm definitely going to stay in contact, bro, because you're a help more than you know. Even though we haven't talked personally, I've been paying attention, bro.
Appreciate it.
As you watch me from a distance, I've been paying attention, and the love is never going to go anywhere. I love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Hey, listen, thank you all for tuning in. We both got a gear to make some moves. Hit that subscribe button. I know this was good. I'm not going to ask you. I know this was good. You can replay it as many times as necessary. We're going to come back to you very soon with some powerful content. And until then, peace.
Peace.